Well, I can testify that Ernie, in his younger years, been problematic. I remember when he came to Texas with his dad. I think that was in 1990. And, of course, I knew Ernie when he was a little kid. I think he was only about 9 then. And, of course, he got in trouble. And I hadn't yet been exposed to what's on a Reformed faith. Brother Tim had. And even how to actually, you know, discipline children more biblically. And so he said, "Brother, now don't tell him it's okay, because I'm going to spank this kid." And I never forgot that. So I said, "Yep, go ahead. He deserves it." And so Brother Tim gave him a good father-son, "What for? Don't do this again, son." And so we love Brother Ernie, appreciate what God has done in his life. I always know I'm among God's people when I come to Trinity Free Press. I love this congregation, love Pastor Mooney, and just good friends. Brother Tim's been a lifelong friend since we were teenagers. And just love God's grace and God's mercy in the life of his people, what God has done. I want to share with you tonight some thoughts from Deuteronomy. We are doing a series through Deuteronomy. And I'm actually going to read from a chapter that we are in next. We were in chapter 5 today, so turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6 with me tonight. We're going to read the first 9 verses. And if I had a title other than this, some thoughts on Deuteronomy, victory through obedience. Victory through obedience. Let's go, Lord, in prayer before we read the Word of God this evening. Lord, we are so thankful you have brought us to yourself. You have called us, Lord, through Christ and by the Spirit. Lord, we thank you for the effectual calling. Lord, we praise you for the fruit that you have produced, God, in the life of, Lord, this people. Lord, we thank you for the word that teaches us you shall know them by their fruit. God, help us not to just be people of words, but God, those with whom the grace of God is resident, in whom the Spirit of God is living, that we might bear the fruit of righteousness, that Christ might be glorified and honored in our lives. And when we, Lord, do sin, that we're quick to confess. Lord, if we confess our sin, that you are faithful and just to forgive us. Lord, I pray now you would take your word this evening. Lord, make it alive in us and cause us to be alive in Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. If you're able, stand for the reading of the Word of God. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you go to possess it. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that thou may that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine heart, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house, and on thy gates. And may God add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. Many people today see the kingdom of God as unable to experience any real progress. And I think we're all aware of that. I talk to people and have talked to folks, and they are believers. They're faithful to their congregation, but they have literally told me, Jim, there's no hope. We're beyond that point. And God cannot or will not do anything. And so they believe that we're unable to ever experience any real progress in this world. They see the world as too powerful and the church is too weak. And the church was little or no influence at all. It was not far from that with Israel. If you stop and think of Israel and who they were slave people, free from 400 years and part of that in slavery in the land of Egypt. And many of them were about to enter the promised land. Some of them had been born on the journey. And they were nomads. Their whole life they had wandered in the desert. Of course, I assume it did probably toughen them up quite a bit as they wandered through the desert for 40 years. But the Israelites were about to enter the land of Canaan. One of the things that awaited them that they had to look forward to is that they would be at war with the inhabitants of Canaan. And they knew that was their future. But you know that first and foremost, they did not receive from God military strategies. I want you to think about it tonight for a moment. That was not what God gave them primarily. But God told them what their duty was to the covenant, to Him. I want to contrast some of this tonight to our modern world and even to the church world. So they were receiving first and foremost their duty. It makes me think of the catechism. What do the scriptures principally teach? How to grow a great nation? First and foremost, what we're to believe concerning God and what duty God requires of us. Joshua, the successor of Moses, encouraged by God to do the same thing. And we're going to read some of that in just a moment, but it's the same thing that Moses had been repeatedly telling Israel about. Over and over again. I share with the congregation this morning the Hebrew word shomar is used over 400 times in the Old Testament. It's used 65 times alone in Deuteronomy. There's only one other book where it's used more, and that is Psalms. It's used 67 times. But we're talking about 34 chapters versus 150 chapters. And so over and over, this word is used in the book of Deuteronomy. We were in chapter 5 this morning. It's used there 5 times alone, just in chapter 5. This word is translated sometimes as keep, sometimes as take heed, and sometimes as observe. And outside of Deuteronomy, it's translated as be circumspect. And the word actually means to hedge about with thorns. It means to guard. It means to protect. And it means that we're to be aware of something and we're to protect it. It wasn't military strategies. It was the Word of God. It was the Word of the Covenant. 5:2 says, this is the covenant the Lord made with them. God made a covenant with Israel. And we're very much aware that in Deuteronomy 28, we have there the blessings and curses based on the obedience or disobedience to that covenant. On their fulfilling what their duty are their covenant responsibilities. Now I want to mention 3 things tonight that Matthew Henry notes about the book of Deuteronomy as a whole. And he says these are three important things that are in the book of Deuteronomy about this book. And the first one is this, that the future king was to make a copy of it with his own hand and read it all the days of his life. Now turn me to Deuteronomy chapter 17 and let's read that passage this evening. Deuteronomy chapter 17 and let's begin with verse 18. And it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priest, the Levites. And it shall be with him and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law. This word keep here is that word, the Hebrew word, shalmar. All the words of this law and these statutes to do them. That his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children, in the midst of Israel. Now, as I mentioned earlier, back before looking at the Bible through different lenses, through different presuppositions, I never somehow applied these things to civil government, though they apply to all of us. But he's strictly speaking here to the king, right? And the king is to have a copy of the law of God, and he's to read it all the days of his life so that he would not be lifted up in pride.
Amen. Yep.
If you read the word of God in the history of Israel, the northern king was always lifted up in pride. They never repented. They never kept the word of God. Judah had some good kings, some bad kings. When you read, I want you to pay attention as you read through the word of God, that when the good king found the word of God or came to the throne, what was it that he did? He began to observe the word of God. This is what makes them be pronounced as good kings. As good rulers. Oh, that it were so today of our civil leaders. Is it possible to have Christian civil government without men who have before them the Word of God? I don't know about you, but I'm kind of just growing with, and have been for years. I may have said before, I met my wife when I was so disgruntled with the civil government and the church where I knew something was wrong. And when I met her, I was about to move to Wyoming. I was buying cast iron socks. There in Alaska, I knew where I was going. I wrote to the Department of Interior of Alaska. They sent me all this information. My mom was so scared. Oh, no, he's crazy. What is he going to do? But you know, Kathy didn't save me from going to that place. It was the Word of God. It was the Word of God. It was God Himself. And I say the same thing about civil government. Church, the only thing that's going to save us is God and His Word.
Amen. That's it.
We have the liberals, we have the conservatives, and guess what? There is another group. We have the Christians. We have those who believe the Word of God. It should be obvious by now that leaders who are conservatives but who do not read and apply the Word of God to their life will never apply the Word of God to civil government.
That's right. Amen.
What an observation by Matthew Henry. He did not go into detail in this commentary, but it is a great thing that he noted here. That the king was to write his copy of the Word of God and read it all the days of his life. And one of the things that he says in the last verse, that his heart not be lifted up above his brethren. As I was reading this, looking at this, thinking about this, and thinking about our modern politicians, they have this problem. It's almost 100%. At the local, county, state, and federal level. What is the real problem? They are not made humble by the Word of God. Amen. Let us not be deceived. I want to encourage you this evening that what we need are rulers who are not ashamed of the Word of God. I will even go this far. We need rulers in the church world, elders and deacons who are not ashamed of the Word of God. We need fathers in homes who are not ashamed of the Word of God, but who have the Word of God before them daily. Read it, understand it, and apply it to their life and to their family. Turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 5 with me. I said we were there this morning. But in chapter 5 and verse 1, I want to mention the three things we shared this morning and last week with our congregation, this thought. Moses called all Israel, verse 1, and said unto them, Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that you may learn them and keep and do them. What are the three things God says that they're to do with the Word of God? They're to listen to it. And they're to learn it, and they're to practice it. It should not be of any great surprise to us why the Word of God is not allowed in certain areas in our culture. Because they have no intention to listen, they have no desire to learn, and they absolutely refuse to have it practiced. But if the people of God themselves, who claim to be the people of God and who proclaim the Word of God, themselves do not practice it, what good is the hearing and the learning what it says if we never implement it? How does it help us? How does it glorify Christ? How does it exalt the righteousness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? And so he says, first of all, the king is to make a copy of civil authorities or to have a copy of the Word of God. People mail these rulers all kind of things. They need a copy of the Word of God. Not just a copy to have a copy, but one that they look into daily and apply it to their life. And that's in every institution that God has ordained. Secondly, tonight, he said it was to be written upon great stones at the passing over Jordan. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 27 with me. Deuteronomy chapter 27. I want you to note that this is something Matthew Henry, at least the first sentence I'm going to give you, is from his commentary. It was written to be written upon great stones at the passing over Jordan. That was the extent of his comment. But here's what it says. And Moses, verse 1, with the elders of Israel, commanded the people, saying, Keep all the commandments which I command you this day. 65 times. Keep, do, practice, observe. And it shall be on the day when you shall pass over Jordan unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, that thou shalt set thee up great stones and plaster them with plaster. And thou shalt write upon them all the words of this law when thou art passed over, that thou mayest go in unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, a land that floweth milk and honey, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee. Now I'll take responsibility for these comments. So they were to set up, as it were, a memorial, and there were to write the law of God on the rocks, on the boundary, before they went into the land of Canaan. Of all the arguments I've heard today about our borders and everything in our country, I haven't heard this one, but I believe we can gain the principle from this reading in this text today. That everybody who enters this country, if we were a Christian nation, should know the law of God that governs the people of this land. Amen. The reason is that men may know the law that governs. And again, I say to us this evening, does this law govern the church? Does it govern our businesses? Does it govern our homes? Does it govern our lives? Or are we ashamed for that rock, that commandment, to be even noticed? That, yes, this is the law that governs any place that Christ has given us to be good stewards of, or given us stewardship of. It must be the law of God, the entirety of the Word of God. The inhabitants who enter must know the law that governs. Maybe I just get too upset with all these things going on sometimes. But I'm trying not to. I'm trying to realize I don't get upset with them. It is going to take a divine move of God.
That's right. Amen.
And it's going to take the Word of God being taught and being preached and being applied. And so as Matthew Henry said, it's astounding, but the king was to read it. They were to put up a memorial on the border. And everybody that came, what is this? And I like what Rush Dooney said. It also meant that people were literate and they could read. They were not illiterate like people would like to tell us, that people were illiterate until the days of the modern world. But that God's people have always been concerned with helping folks become literate and able to read. Why? So that they might know the Word of God.
That's right.
So that they might know the Word of God. 30 says it was to be read publicly every seventh year at the Feast of Tabernacles. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 31 with me this evening. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 10 through verse 12. And Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear, that they may learn, and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law. The same thing we read in 5 and 1. Listen, learn it, and do it. To who? Everybody. The strangers, the women, the children, the men, everyone is to be taught the Word of God. What does this mean? What does this teach us? That everybody in this country, or everybody in a Christian nation, should be familiar with the Word of God.
Yes.
Everybody. So that means they should attend to the hearing, to the reading, to the instructing, to the teaching, to the explaining of the Word of God. Why? So that they may learn it and fear the Lord and observe it. Here's one of those 65 times again. Observe. And to do all the words of this law. So Israel's victory was dependent upon them hearing, learning, and obeying. When they were delivered and set free from bondage, the people refused to obey God. They complained before they left Egypt. They complained after they left Egypt. And they refused to be faithful to the covenant. And so those first ones that came out, what happened to them? They all died in the wilderness. There was no victory. There was no Canaan. Yes, they did at one point when they saw what God had pronounced, the sanction and the judgment against them. They went up then to try to right their rebellion. God would not have it. In the first few chapters, chapter 2 and 3 of Deuteronomy, I'm not going to go there and read those passages, but it's the victory over Sihon and over Og. And I just want to share a thought with you, I share with our congregation. You would think that maybe after they had heard of the mighty works of God in Egypt, they had heard of the mighty miraculous work of God through the desert. I mean, these people eat bread from heaven. That's pretty miraculous, isn't it? Their clothes didn't wear out. They drank water from rocks. All these great things happened to them. And the people knew of these things. We know that as we read through the history of Israel and in the book of Joshua as they begin to conquer this land. The things that happened to them. But you would think that as the Gibeonites, they might come and say, hey, let's make a treaty. Let's get together here now. Let's figure this out. You know, let's not go to war with each other. At least those people had some kind of understanding of what they were up against. And even though they did it through deceit, they were willing to have some kind of peace with them. But Sihon and Og came into conflict with Israel in the first battles they had. And it is amazing that sometimes the very things that we fear and that we are so fearful of, the altercation that are coming upon us, it is God going to demonstrate His victorious power and His defeat of the enemy. Do we believe today that the people who hate God, and this is the conclusion I've come to personally, that these people actually hate God? I'm not talking about they just tolerate, they actually hate God. They're at war with God. Do we actually believe, when we look at all the things, I hear people say it, even my wife has said it, and I understand it. I just don't understand these people. They're just idiots. They can't reason, they have no logic. They have no understanding. Anybody should want the conservative view and abandon the liberal view. As I begin to think of these kings in our modern situation and our circumstances, they are no different than Og was. After Sihon was defeated, he prepared to go to war with them. They are not going to give up and give the territory that they have worked 100 and over 100 years to conquer from the Christians. They're not going to do it. And I must say the children of this world are wiser, it seems, than the children of light. Why such battles in the civil government? I'm not saying the conservatives, some of them are Christians, but I don't know anybody that practices Christianity, especially when it comes to implementation in the law of the land, in the civil arena. But why such a battle even over things like we may have Roe versus Wade reversed, or Obergefell reversed? Because the children of this world in their wisdom found out something. We need to control 5 seats in the entire country to control the entire country. Right? They don't need 535 legislators. They just need 5 people in the Supreme Court to control the entire country. And we get excited about men sitting on the court who profess Christ, but who never, ever quote the Word of God. Who never embrace the law of God, who do not practice it in this institution. So we must realize that it's not about electing the right person. It's not about placing the right person on the Supreme Court. It's about learning this book. listening and learning and practicing the Word of God to glorify Christ and to honor Him. Let me give one example tonight of Israel's defeat because of a lack of implementing this in their lives. God said, when you go to Jericho, everything is cursed. Don't take any of it. You know the account. Achan took it. He said, let's go up to Ai, such a small little account. We can win this victory. Don't worry about it. We'll take it. I hear these kind of things in the civil arena today about the civil things going on. You know, we can take it and then you get somebody in and lo and behold, it's not what you thought it was. Right? You still lose. Right? You send a few people up, you say, we've got this, and they still lose. If you get the right person in there. They sent the right guys. They believe they could win, right? But there was something wrong. Israel had done something God strictly forbid. It was not obeyed. It was not followed. 36 men lost their life because of one man's disobedience. How many people are going to have blood on their hands that never, ever thought of it in this life? Because of their rebellion and disobedience against God. And so they went up and they lost. And guess what? Discipline had to take place. Judgments had to be passed. And then they went up and they won. So the book of Deuteronomy, over and over again, we are encouraged, we are summoned, we are called to obedience. And we're to use the Word of God in life that we might be victorious. In the temptation of Christ, the devil came to him three times, and every time he quoted the book of Deuteronomy. Every instant, he said, it is written. It is written. Christ did not say, I am the Son of God. I am sovereign over you. He said, it is written. It is written. The Word of God is quick and powerful, Hebrews 4:12, and sharp than a two-edged sword. Church, we have given to us by God and preserved by His promise throughout the millenniums the Word of God. And He says His Word will not return void. It is the Word of God that sanctifies us, that sets us apart. It is the Word of God that encourages us. It is the Word of God that reveals Christ to us. It's the Word of God that reveals our duty. These are the things God gives us in His Word. Everything that pertains to life and godliness is revealed to us in Holy Scripture. And so He tells us, listen, learn, and obey. James says it this way. Turn to James chapter 1 with me this evening. James chapter 1. James 1 and 22. He said, but be ye doers of what? The Word. And not hearers only. The hearing is no good without the doing. Because if we do that, we're what? Deceiving your own selves. Don't you get tired of all these theological debates sometimes? And just discussing and now I love debates, but I'm talking about just these debates that go on back and forth. And you stop and you ask, now what are you doing? Are you doing what you're saying? Are you practicing what you're preaching? No. That's a whole different story. Amen. Whole different story, right? Practicing. People argue for things that they are not even doing. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, He is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, abideth, stays there. He be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Victory through obedience, because one is a doer of the word of God. A doer of the word of God. Obeying the word of God. Now, closing, I want you to turn me tonight to the book of Joshua, chapter 1. The book of Joshua, chapter 1. Joshua was chosen by God to replace Moses, succeed Moses as the leader of the children of Israel. And I want you to notice again that to this leader, he doesn't say, you know, you're going to be leading a nation, Joshua. I want you to study military strategy. Did they exercise military strategy? Of course they did. That's not primary, is it? This is what he says to him. Verse 2, Moses my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people unto the land which I do give to them, even the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates. All the land of the Hittites and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous. Is this to fight militarily? That thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. Did you know it does take strength and courage? And that must come from God? Which Moses, my servant, commanded thee, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book shall not depart out of thy mouth. It can't be in your mouth if you don't listen and learn it and put it within your heart. For from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Amen. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wheresoever thou goest. Wow. Wow. What is God saying? You want to be victorious? Let's obey God. Let's obey God. Let's do what God has called us to do, what God requires of us, what God has commanded us to do is our duty. We must seek God for the grace and the power of the Spirit to do that. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you tonight, Lord, for your marvelous holy word. It is so important that you have even declared thyself, Lord Jesus, heaven and earth shall pass away, but not your word. Your word shall never pass away. God, help me to build my life on the word of God and the personified word to Lord Jesus Christ, who himself is the living word. Everything else will falter and everything else will fail us. God, you have promised your word will never fail. It will not just stand the test of time. It will stand when time is no more. when eternity, Lord, is had, and we are there, your word will still live. Oh God, help us tonight to realize we're not going to be saved by horses, by military might. We're not going to be saved, God, by men. We are going to be saved by your word, and he who is the King of kings and Lord of lords of that word, Jesus Christ, our King, our Redeemer, our Savior, who died that we might have a heart whereby he would write his word. We might be the obedient people, the victorious people, because we're the people of the book, of the word of God, brought to it by Christ, effectually given a love for it by the work of Christ. Spirit of God, come and touch us, empower us, give us a hunger, give us a craving for you and for your word. Then empower us to live according to it, to practice your word, to hide your word in our very hearts, that we might not, God, sin against thee. Help us, God, to exalt you and exalt your word. People may know our God is righteous. Our God is holy. And it is he to whom we must give an account for the deeds in this life. Thank you, God, for your blessings. Thank you for this congregation. And I pray, God, that you would bless them and keep your hand upon them. In the endeavoring, God, Lord, to walk in your word. For the glory of Christ, in his name we pray. Amen.